There's no doubt that there are some sins that carry a greater social stigma than other sins. And so from a societal point of view and from a human point of view, we measure the severity of sin in terms of social awareness and social stigma. If you take, for example, polygamy, polygamy is marrying more than one wife, which is outlawed in our society. You can go to some parts of the world in which polygamy is just highly acceptable. So which one is sin? Where it's outlawed in society or where society makes it highly acceptable? Well, you've got to ask yourself, what does God say? And the big difficulty that we have today is to get to the point at which we go back to the one who made us, God Creator. He knows us best of all.
That unique voice you've been listening to is the voice of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist and pastor, as he opens his heart with this message, What Does God Say? God has something to say about every choice that you and I are going to make today, and you'll discover those answers together with us and Dr. Don Wilton in the Bible itself. As we study God's Word, know that we're available for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you. We're connecting 24 hours a day at this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at theencouragingword.org. Just know we're here to connect with you. Now let's open our hearts and God's Word together with Dr. Don Wilton.
Heavenly Father, we just celebrate today that we have been crucified with Christ. As Paul said, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Thank you for loving us so very, very much. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross so that we might have life. Lord, we receive eternal life in and through Jesus Christ. But more than that, you by your Spirit enter into our hearts and into our lives. And you enable us to be overcomers. You help us with the battles that we have with the sin in our lives. And we're so grateful to you because in and of ourselves, Lord, we cannot do these things. And we are so perplexed. We battle so much with so many of the things that we deal with as a people. Lord, help us today. Let us see you. We want to focus on you. And Lord, right now, I pray that your Spirit would come down upon every person who is worshiping, every listener. May we hear your Spirit speak. Get me out of the way. And let your Spirit have His say. And Lord, for every person in every circumstance of life, speak to us. We're listening to you. We want to know what you have to say. So speak to us. And then help us, Lord, to be obedient and to follow through and to take hold of the wonderful truth of knowing Christ as Savior and Lord. I just want to pray for somebody who doesn't know you. There's someone listening, watching. I pray for that person today. Lord, there's someone today. It may just be one person. But then, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross just for one, just like me. I pray today that someone would come to that point at which they recognize their own sin, confess that sin to you, repent of that sin, and by faith receive you into their heart and life. In Jesus' name, we all pray together. Amen. You're really going to need your Bibles today, so I want you to Get ready with your Bibles. It's actually so very important that we listen to God's Word today. Our subject is really one of the most powerful subjects I think that we could ever consider. Here it is. What does God say? Isn't that a great question? It's not a question that we particularly want to ask, at least not for our own lives individually. Sometimes that question is a very awkward question. And really, if I think we are perfectly open with each other, if we did listen to what God had to say, it would become even more difficult, because there are so many of us who are battling with some very deep issues. I want to say a couple of things to you before I open God's Word today. First of all, I want you to know that God loves you very much. So do I. He really does love you. Do you know that God loves every single person? He loves you and me so much that He gave His only Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on a cross. Not only to forgive us for our sin, but I want you to watch this, listen to this, but to help us by His Spirit deal with our sin and overcome our sin. Now, friends, this is very important for us to hear today when we ask this question, what does God say? You see, we're living without a doubt in a very morally bankrupt world today. We're living in a very, very sinful world. I want to remind each one of you that actually sin has always been present. Sometimes because we are the ones who are alive and we look at our world and we compare things and we say, well, it must be a whole lot worse today than what it was yesterday. That's not true. I'm not going to give you a history of the sin of man, but I am going to tell you from the very moment that Adam and Eve took a bite of that apple, people began to sin. And if you were to take a walk even through the Bible, we've got so many illustrations of how people like you and me turned our backs against God. And we sinned against God. The bottom line, always from the time of Adam, was that God spoke and man sinned. And sin is sin in the eyes of God. The issue today is that sin really has two levels of measurement. It has the level of social awareness. Whatever sin you and I may name, we measure that against the social strata in which we live. And so sin becomes proportional to the society in which you live because it affects society. But there's a second level of awareness, and that's the issue of social stigma. There's no doubt that there are some sins that carry a greater social stigma than other sins. And so from a societal point of view and from a human point of view, we measure the severity of sin in terms of social awareness and social stigma. If you take, for example, polygamy is marrying more than one wife, which is outlawed in our society. You can go to some parts of the world in which polygamy is just highly acceptable. So which one is sin? Where it's outlawed in society or where society makes it highly acceptable? Well, you've got to ask yourself, what does God say? And the big difficulty that we have today is to get to the point at which we go back to the one who made us, God Creator. He knows us best of all.
Forgive the interruption. You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word, and there's a great deal more to come in that What Does God Say message from Dr. Don Wilton. And we know the answer about the popular opinion, but we'll let Dr. Wilton tell us in just a moment. But here's another great answer. Many of you asking, we're praying for the ministry, we're supporting it financially. Is there another way we can help out? Sure. We have a wonderful partnership with our friends at Amazon, and if you're shopping at Amazon a good bit, visit theencouragingword.org and see where you have a smile code. If you're familiar with the Amazon Smile Code, it's a partnership that allows many organizations like ours, a nonprofit organization, to receive an extra bit of support as you shop. Again, all the details are online at theencouragingword.org. Now let's open our hearts and get connected back to these concepts of what God says and how it applies to our daily life every single day, as Dr. Don Wilton teaches us.
But I not only want to tell you that God loves you and that Jesus died for you and that we're all sinners, I also want to say to you that there are many of us who hurt deeply over the issue of sin. And when it comes to some of these sins that I'm going to talk about today, I want you to know, whoever you are, that I really hurt for you and I pray for you. It's very easy for some of us to become self-righteous. It's very easy sometimes to stand and to point a finger and say, look at what that person is doing. But it's another thing to actually have to live in that and with that. And I want to say to you as a parent, as a mother, a father, grandparent, as a friend, whatever you do, don't ever stop loving that person, even though God has called whatever it is they are doing sin. And some of you are really hurting. You're caught between a rock and a hard place because you're living in a world of political correctness. But you love the Lord and you believe that what God says is absolute truth. So where do you fit into the scheme of things? And I'm not going to unpack this before I read this, but I've got to say this. I believe that everybody has zones of sinfulness because all of us have been born in our sin. According to the Bible, there is not a single person that is not conceived in sin. We are all sinners, every single one of us. In fact, the only difference between the best of us in here and the worst of them out there is the grace of God. That's why Jesus died for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your heart and into your life, God by His Spirit indwells you. And it is God's Spirit who convicts you, first of your sin, secondly of righteousness, and thirdly of judgment. And that little word righteous there, God by His Spirit not only convicts you, but He enables you by His Spirit to overcome. That's why the Bible says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, your sin may be the sin of stealing. It may be the sin of idolatry. It may be the sin of homosexuality. It may be the sin of lying. It may be the sin of anger. And in your zone, you've got a propensity toward that particular sin. Why is it that not everybody in this world grows up stealing? Why is it when we do profiles in our education system and we analyze people and we say, you know, this person just has an inclination toward, you know, this little boy, when he was 5, he stole this, and when he was 9, he stole this, and when, or cheated, or lied, or whatever it might be, and then one thing leads to another, and if that zone of sinfulness, that issue in that individual person's life is not garnered and harnessed by the Holy Spirit, because only the Holy Spirit can do that, where does that lead? Is it possible for a little boy or a little girl who have a propensity to steal, for example, to do kind of what I call soft sins, you know, steal a little here, steal a little there, and for that to grow exponentially to the point at which when that young person is 20 years old, they walk into a bank and have a gun in their hands and they rob a bank and they get convicted of armed robbery and they end up in jail with a life sentence. So which one of us is going to throw the first stone? And who is not welcome in God's house? And who is not eligible for God's grace? On God's condition. There are many issues facing us today. Pornography, living together. You living with someone right now? You having a physical relationship with someone right now outside of marriage? You are guilty of sin, according to what God says. Abortion, homosexuality, adultery. You cheated on your wife? Now who's going to throw the first stone? Where would we be without the Lord Jesus? And before I read to you three passages of Scripture, I just want to say this to you, that there are many decision-making options in our world today. How do we know what is right and what is wrong? Here are some of the ways in which we've chosen to make decisions. I just listed six of them. Number one, popular opinion. Popular opinion. We want to know if homosexuality is right or wrong, or abortion is right or wrong, or adultery is right or wrong, and we could go on down the road. I'm not going to keep listing sins today. Perhaps we ought to consult popular opinion. Let's take a poll. Number two, political correctness. Well, let's just be politically correct. Let's decide something because of the political correctness of the issue. See, when you ask the question, what is it that God says, nothing can be politically correct if it's biblically wrong. Number three, cultural heritage. We are one nation, there's no question about it. It's what I love about the United States, but we're a nation of many cultures. So why don't we lean on our culture? Well, this is the way we do things. Number four, social convenience. Big issue in terms of trying to determine what's right and wrong, what is sin, what is not sin. Is it socially convenient? Because social convenience leads to social acceptance. Nobody wants to be socially unacceptable. That is why sin usually gathers itself in certain areas. You can determine pockets of sin. There are some places in America where it's better to live if you have a propensity toward any particular sin. Move there. You'll be socially convenient. You'll be accepted. Here's a big one. Number five, human feelings. Human feelings are a very big issue, aren't they? All of us deal with human feelings. All of us. We're emotional people. We all love and hurt And so it's very understandable that we will say, well, how can you question if someone loves someone? Surely if somebody loves someone, everybody's entitled to love. We use human feelings. We use human feelings cover the judicial system. Human feelings govern the way we respond to one another. Human feelings become the litmus test, and emotions. Human emotion is a very, very big issue. And last but not least, historical precedent. On both sides of the aisle of any issue, people can use historical precedent. Well, we've never done that before. We don't do things like that. Or we do things like that. It's always been that way. Look, it doesn't matter if you move to this country over here. Historically, that's the way they are. As a Christian, I choose God. I choose His Word. I stand upon His Word. This Bible, this book, is not an ordinary book. I'm not just reading some novel here. This is God's Word. I believe this word from Genesis to Revelation. It's God's infallible, inerrant word of God. These are the words of God, our Heavenly Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every word written and recorded for us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, without mixture of error, absolutely true. And if I want to know what God says, I have to go to His word. I'm going to read to you three passages of Scripture, and I'm going to try and not stop at any great length at any point in time, because it's important for us to hear these words. First of all, turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. We're asking the question, what does God say? I'm going to begin in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says that for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to ask God what He says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithful, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give approval to those who practice them. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man.
God is using this particular message from the pastor to stir your heart. And if He is, don't let things stay the way they are. Let's move forward together with a deeper walk with Christ, or perhaps for some of you, the very first time to say yes to Jesus Christ. Our pastor's got more to come in just a minute, but just know that we're available for you. If you'd like to talk, if questions have been raised and you want to discover those answers in God's encouraging Word, then call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. I pray you'll jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us 24 hours a day, ready to talk, to listen, to pray, and connect with great resources as well. Now, before we get away, closing thoughts from Dr. Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin
And by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news. And by the way, don't go away, because I'll be right back in just a minute.
Just know we'd love to connect with you. That number again is 866-899-9673. If the Lord has stirred your heart, let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And online, you'll see a great deal of information about this wonderful month of June, celebrating what it is to stand firm in the cross currents.
Hello, my dear friends. I want to speak to you personally today, from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. We're living today in a day and age in the crossfire of multiple cross currents that you and I know full well are challenging the very fabric of our faith. We must stand strong in our convictions. The Encouraging Word Broadcast Ministry is doing just that. And we are supported by viewers and listeners just like you who want to make a difference in our world for Christ. So please call the number on your screen and request my life-changing message, Standing Strong in the Cross Currents. As a result, you will be empowered and blessed. Thank you for requesting my message. Your financial support enables us to continue to share God's truth with our searching world.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton, or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.
You know, I want to say something to you personally. You ready for this? Thank you. It's a powerful word, isn't it? Small one, powerful. I want to thank you. You see, the sun hardly rises or sets in a day that we don't see people come to know Christ through this broadcast ministry. Every day. And you make that possible through your prayers, most of all, and through your financial giving. God is doing something great. And in our world today, this medium of television, very important, folks. This is very, very important. God is allowing us to go into more and more homes across the United States of America. Thank you for helping us make this possible. And let's never stop praying that people would come to know Jesus. God bless you.
Again, that number one more time is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or connect with us online at theencouragingword.org.